Well, we're continuing our journey through the Gospel of John. We finished last week the story of the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. And over the last 2 weeks, we talked about that there's two type of people in the church of God. There are there are sometimes two groups of people that cause struggle within the church of God, and that is the stone throwers. The first stone throwers is the one who tends to throw stones at those within the body of Christ and cause damage within. And then there's also the stone throwers that tend to be critical with everyone outside the church, and they throw stones at someone that does not look like them or dress like them. And they tend to turn people away from wanting to come to church or wanting to come to Christ. But as we talked about those last couple of weeks, that God has commanded us as a body of Christ to love one another. And part of loving is getting to know each other and being real with each other and stop pretending with each other. And that's all a choice that we must make when we come into the body of Christ. Will I come to give, and will I come to be real to other people? Be vulnerable to be real. And so we talked about loving one another. And we also talked about the God commanding us also not to love the people that are easy to love, but to love even the unlovely, those people that you'd rather not even spend time with if you just chose yourself. But because God has commanded us to love, we are to even love the unlovely. Now let us continue our journey. If you have your Bibles, anybody have their Bibles this morning? Okay, thank you. John chapter 8. Verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here we see the second I am of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Does anyone remember what the first I am of Jesus was in the Gospel of John? Any guesses? Some of us love to eat it for morning breakfast. Fruit, okay. A type of food, bread. I don't know about you, but I love bread. The first I am of Jesus is I am the bread of life. Just like food satisfies and bread fills us up, Jesus came to give us bread, the life that comes through Him. He is the bread of life. The second one here is, I am the light of the world. I think sometimes to think about light, to understand light, sometimes we need to think about the opposite. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. Have you ever been in your room and you go into a room at night and you flick the light off? At first, before your eyes adjust, it seems like utter blackness, darkness for a moment. But as your eyes adjust, if you live by a street or by another home, eventually you could kind of see a little bit. You don't see as clearly. You're not in utter darkness, but you're in darkness. And sometimes even children fear that type of darkness. But have you ever been in a place of utter darkness, of true darkness? And I know if you've ever been in a cave, I know here they have the Mammoth Caves, which I'd like to go to sometime. Up in Washington State, our family would go to these caves called the Ape Caves. And this place was not a place that you had to pay to get into. I mean, they had the stairs that went down, and then you're on your own, and you'd go miles. You could explore as you like. And when you'd go in there, you'd take your flashlight. There's one area you'd go about a mile and a half, if I remember correctly, and then get narrow and get down and start crawling for a while, and then eventually it just stops. But when you got in there, when you're looking around, with your flashlight, you could see where there's cave-ins at times, where the rocks came down. But if you ever flicked out that light, now that is darkness. I mean, you have your hand right here, and you couldn't see a thing. You almost feel the heat from your hand. It's blackness, darkness. And being young and silly back in that day, not that much has changed, but we used to do a game when we go there, and I remember one time we did it. We're going in there with our flashlights, and we're like, I wonder how far we can get without our flashlights. We'd send my sister-in-law and some other people up ahead, make sure if there's drop-offs that she would call back to us so we wouldn't get too injured. And then we'd go and we'd be walking and screaming as we're hitting our shins on big stones and trying to feel our way through the darkness. Darkness, the absence of light. When it is dark, you cannot see things that you normally see. You are unaware at times of what is ahead, and you can get lost in darkness. But what does light do? It helps us see what we cannot see before. It can guide us if we're walking down a path. Sunlight helps things grow. In a way, it gives life. Because without light of the sun, things would shrivel up and die. So darkness is the absence of light. You get lost. Light, the absence of darkness, in the sense you can see where you're going. You've seen things you haven't seen before. And you could have life through the sunlight, like the sun. What is Jesus saying when he says, I am the light of the world? I think, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking, okay, how would I approach this? Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. Have you ever gone back into the Old Testament when it talks about God and light? Kind of surprising. That even at the very beginning of God's word in Genesis 1, you see God create physical light. Listen to Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth, or over the face of the deep. And if you jump up to verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. At the very beginning, God created light. God loves light. And he created even the physical light to give light upon the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. And what's interesting is he gave light so that there would never be, in a sense, utter darkness on earth. Sure, you could go in a cave, or if a cloudy day it gets pretty dark, but still with the moon, the sun, and the stars, he wanted us to have light. Light by day, and even lesser light by night. God loves light. But you know what? What really hit me when I was studying this week? Did you know the sun and the moon? God only gave it to us to give us temporary light. It's not made to last. It's temporary. It comes and it will go. Listen to this when it comes to light. Now, sometimes you wonder, we look at the sun, we take it for granted, it brings life to plants, all this. I wonder if in some small way that the idea of the sun giving light gives us a little glimpse into God, who is light. Because what's interesting here, if you look in Revelations, well, first look at Isaiah. There's a prophecy in Isaiah 60, verse 19 and 20. Listen to this prophecy. The sun shall no more light by day, nor the brightness shall the moon give light, but the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw herself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. A prophecy about the moon, about God becoming our everlasting light, and then the moon and the sun no more. And then if you go back to Revelation 21, where there's the creation of the new heaven and the new earth, and then the new Jerusalem comes out from heaven to the earth. In Revelations 21, beginning at verse 22, listen to this. in the city of the New Jerusalem, it says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will all the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it. Revelation 22:5 says, and night will be no more. There will be no need of light or lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is light. The very glory of God. To imagine being in a place where God's glory lights not only the city of the New Jerusalem, but the entire world. Our moon and sun will go away. But God is eternal. God is light. Think about it. God is light. The light that emanates from the glory of God, the light that comes from His presence, it's His very nature, and it almost defines His purity, His undefiled, even at times unapproachable light. The purity, the holiness, the righteousness of God. And I thought it was so interesting, 1 John 1:5, it says this, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Talking about the glory of God, the sinlessness of God, the purity of God. God is light. And there's a certain portion of His light that seems someday will be physical from His glory. God is light. And we see this even proclaimed more and more about God being light in the Old Testament, even before we get to what Jesus said here, more and more in Psalm 36:9, it says this, for with you, talking to God, is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Psalm 118:27 says, the Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Isaiah 2:5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What is He saying here about walking in God's light? I don't know about you, but besides the physical sun or the moon, I don't see God's glory. Because so far we see that God's created physical light that was only meant to be temporary. And God is light, and there will be a day that God's glory and presence will come among us, but God is still light. Even now He's still light. But there's a difference. For now we live in a sinful world. There is spiritual darkness here. Yet even in the darkness, we catch glimpses of God's glory, His light in this dark world. In the Old Testament, we see these glimpses of God's light. First, the moon and the star, the physical light God has given. But do you remember the story of when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, what happened? That God's presence came in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to give them what? Light to be able to know where they were going. To give them light. To give them light. To guide them in the wilderness. Do you know what the cloud and pillar of fire represent in the Bible? God's visible presence. And a pillar of fire, God's visible presence amongst His people. Some define it as Shekinah glory, which is a quote I found out of one of the books I was reading, a divine visitation of God's presence on the earth. A small glimpse. Oh, not His full glory. We'd be consumed. As Moses said, I want to see Your glory. And what did God say to him? Okay, you found favor in my sight, you'll see, but you're going to see my backside. You aren't going to see my face, because if you see my face, you'll die. So we see glimpses of God's glory, of his light. And the Israelites, imagine traveling by night, and the cloud and pillar, it never left them in the wilderness. And it traveled before them. And they would follow the cloud. They would follow the pillar of fire. Just imagine when you'd see that. God's with us. God's with us. He's in our midst. He is with us. But like I said, we're in a sinful world. It was the same people who saw the cloud and the pillar of fire by night who end up bowing before that carved image, that golden calf. They saw things that you and I wish we did see in some ways, but they still turned because we're in a dark world of sin. But you know, God wants to give us more than this outward physical light. He wants to give us more than the sun and the moon. He wants to give us more than the pillar of fire at night. He wants to give us now and here and now, before we come to glory, he wants to give us spiritual light, inward light that is through his Holy Spirit in our lives. Inward light, light that exposes the darkness from our souls, light that gives, not only exposes it, but can drive it out and in its place bring life to inside of us. That is what God wants to do, is bring a spiritual light in the midst of this dark world. You know, what's interesting is we even see this, these glimpses of God's light in the Old Testament. Psalm 27:1, just listen to this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is God, is he talking about God being a physical light here? Is he a physical stronghold here? Of course not. This Psalms 27 is talking about God giving us spiritual light. If it's guidance, to some, it may be wisdom, knowledge, strength, understanding inside the heart of man, this spiritual light inside of us. He wants to give us spiritual light. And one of his temporary ways of giving us his spiritual light here on earth in this dark world is through his written word of God. He wants to give us spiritual light through God's word. Are you reading God's word? Are you allowing the light of God's word into your life? Because you see that throughout the Old Testament, the light of God's word. Listen to this, Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is light, because it comes from God who is light. Psalms 119:130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. Psalm 43:3 says this, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Maybe this morning you feel distance from God. One way that God uses is, and I'd say the primary thing that God uses in this world is his word. Yeah, we don't have time. We have excuses. We'll watch our football, basketball games. And we wonder why God doesn't speak to us. And he's like, I've given you my word. But we never spend time in it. I don't get it. It's too big a book. We make excuses. And we wonder why at times many parts of our lives we're walking in darkness when he says, I've given you a light, the word of God, light, to show us how we are to live and walk and how we're to deal with people and things we face on how to approach them, that he's with us. And also he wants to say, you want to know me? Know me through my word. For his word is truth. It gives us light. God's word gives us light. Psalms 19, I love this, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. His word gives us insight into who God is. It guides us and helps us to live a righteous life. God's word shows us what is right or wrong and what offends the heart of God. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed according to your word? And jump up to verse 11 of Psalm 119 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. His word gives us light. In the Old Testament, listen to these verses about the power of God's word. In the New Testament says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training for righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the word of God. God's word gives light because God is light. And we see this both in the Old and New Testament. Yes, the light of the knowledge of God, the light of how to live for Him. Are you committed to God's word? Are you spending time in God's word? Let's stop excuses. If you're not doing it, it's not important enough to you. Now, I'm not saying, you may say, oh, Reid, I went through, I was legalistic, and I don't read God's word anymore. No. Don't do it because you check it off in your list of things you need to do. Do it just like when you want to spend time with your best friend or spend time with your spouse. Do it because you want to know Him. That's one in my personal life, that's one of my keys when I come before Him, if it's in prayer or if it's in His Word. Shouldn't that be our ultimate goal first? Lord, I want to know You. Because if we go to know Him, then He wants to tell us all these other things too. If we go there to fill our head with knowledge, knowledge puffs us up. But if we go, Lord, I want to know You. And as He shows us Himself, we walk in light and our lives are different. Think about it. But there's something missing, though. From the Old Testament, when it comes to this issue of light, the light of salvation. Yes, we see glimpses of light in the Old Testament, glimpses of Old Testament prophecies talking about a day that would come, prophecies of what will take place. They had glimpses of God's light. They had God's word. They saw the moon and the sun. They saw the pillar by day, the Jews. The people that did not know God saw His creation and saw the light. But they did not have a Savior. They were still bound by sin and death. They were still destined for judgment and the wrath of God. But through God's word, again, you see in the Old Testament, and then we come to Jesus here in a moment. You see God's word in the Old Testament where there's glimmers of light. Yes, the light of salvation, Isaiah 9:2. The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the deep darkness, on them has a light shone or shined. Isaiah 4, 6, and 7 says, I will give you a covenant for the people, a light for the nations to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. A promise of a Messiah who would come, a light would come. The light of salvation, the light to bring us back to God would come. And after the Old Testament prophecies, there's about 400 years before we come to the New Testament. And then one day, in the temple, Simeon's in the temple. They bring this baby to Simeon. And they hand this baby, because every firstborn was to be presented to the Lord and sacrifices were to be made. And so Mary and Joseph brought Jesus and put him in the hands of Simeon. And listen to what Simeon said when he saw Jesus. Listen to this in Luke 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared for all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. He held the Savior of the world in his hands, the light in his hands. And then we come to John 1. Remember John 1, 1 through 4? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, the light of men. And in verse 14, John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The light of the knowledge of God to the image of the God Himself. He revealed light. He came to reveal who God was, His glory, and part of His glory was grace and truth for salvation. The light of salvation. The light of salvation. Now we come to Jesus. I am the light of the world. He who walks in darkness, you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This most likely took place during the Feast of Booths. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there is some controversy at the very end of John 7 and John 8, 1 through 11, the adulterous woman. Some believe, right? I said that they have a struggle with that because it's not in the older manuscripts. But some still believe in it, believe that it is what happened with Jesus and that woman. But they don't believe it's placed right. Because if you go to near the end of John 7 to this very John 8, 12, it's a natural flow. It's a natural flow. And when, at the end of John chapter 8, he's still at the Feast of Booths. Remember what the Feast of Booths was? A celebration where all the people would come to Jerusalem and they would celebrate the harvest and they'd set up all these like tents, these like booths to remember their time in the wilderness. But they had something interesting they did during that feast, which ties in what Jesus did here. During the feast, they call it the illumination of the temple. And we don't see that in the Old Testament. It was a tradition started later by the Jews. But it's called the illumination of the temple. And what they would do in the court of women, in the temple, there's a court called the court of women, they put up this big candelabra. They said I saw one of my sources said it was about 60 to 70 feet high. And they filled it with oil. And they would light that. During the evenings, every evening. Some said we aren't sure if it was every evening or at one time. But they would light this lamp. And they said it was so bright, it would light up the entire city of Jerusalem. A massive light. A massive light to remember. To remember God's provision there in booths, living in the wilderness. And then to remember His pillar of fire that would guide them to give them light. And as they remember this during the feast, His glory, the great light, it's bright and it's light up. Everyone's looking and they're into this light. And what does Jesus do in the midst of this feast? He stands up and says, yeah, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's a big statement that Jesus is declaring to these people, these religious leaders, in the midst of this feast. I'm the light. They're seeing this bright light, but no, I'm the light. And what is Jesus saying? I am the light that could drive out darkness. I can give life. And how can Jesus do this? Jesus is God, and God is light. This Jesus was the one who said at the very creation of the world, let there be light. This Jesus was the one who went before the Israelites in the pillar of fire. It was this Jesus who will be the light in the New Jerusalem with his Father. It was Jesus who gave us the light of his written word. It was Jesus who came and died on the cross for us. It was Jesus who gave us salvation. Jesus is our light and salvation. We have the worship team come forward. Is Jesus your light and salvation? Coming to church doesn't do it. Doesn't make you a Christian. Going to Sunday school your entire life, every day, does not make you a Christian. Jesus is our light and salvation. Where are you at today? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because when he shines on us, the light of salvation, we realize that we cannot earn his favor through the things we do, that we are broken, and we come before him and say, God, I cannot do it. I need you. And his light drives out that darkness, and we become a new creation. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? But maybe also, you may say, Reed, I know the Lord. I've given my life. I've given my life to the Lord, but I am in a dark place. Unfortunately, you guys, in God's word, it never says, if you know Jesus, your life's going to be easy the rest of your life. Have you ever thought that one time in your walk with God? If I follow God, spiritually, I'll just walk through things and never go through hardship. Just look at the life of Paul. Come on. But he does promise that he'll be our light and salvation through it. Where are you at today? As we worship this last song, you just need to come and say, Lord, I need you to light up this area of darkness in my life. Or maybe it's a stronghold of the enemy. You've wandered in a sense. Here's the light, and you're kind of wandered off. And you say, come back to me. You come, and there's areas he's exposing, and you don't like it. It hurts. Because you go into God's light and you see who you are. And sometimes we have to come in our brokenness and say, God, I need your light, but I also need your life that comes through his light in this area of my life. And as we worship this last song, come before the King of the universe. Come before our high priest who wants to give us grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. He wants to this morning to be our light and our salvation. Let us worship him.